the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare. Just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. Thank you so much. So true. We have a hard time doing that at times, leaving it there, don't we? And we like to take it back. We like to, I don't know why we like it. It's much easier to give it over to him, but we have a tendency to give it and to take it right back and to carry the burden on our shoulders, and yet understand that we can leave it there with him and he can take care of it. He's very adequate. He's very wonderful at taking care of our burdens. That's what he was meant to do. And so we truly appreciate that. That will help us as we go through life in our fears. Take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is where we're at this morning. John chapter 8. It was the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if you can remember when Rick went through the different feasts and that. You probably already forgot about those things. It referred to as several different feasts, but here I'm going to say the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were many significances of many of these feasts and that they're remembering. And many of them went back to what? Anybody, you know, what is a main event that a lot of these feasts memorialized went back to? A lot of them went back to remembering the deliverance from Egypt. There's just so much about God's people being delivered from Egypt. And so, no doubt, the Feast of Tabernacles was a part of that. This morning is not an effort to give you the whole Feast of Tabernacles. That was already done, and Rick did a very good job at that. We're not going back there, but it was the time in John chapter 8 that these people in the temple were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. One of the elements, and there were many, one of the elements that they remembered would be the light that God provided them as they would wander through the wilderness. Now, do you remember there would be the fire? You remember the fire that was provided? And there would be the cloud that was provided. And those things would be for... It would be for a number of reasons, but they were a guide. It seems as though the scriptures, when you look at it, in Exodus, it appears that it is almost like they were sandwiched in between. You know, there was a guide that would lead them, and then there was a cloud of protection behind them. And as they went, God's provision and protection and help and all of that went with them through the wilderness and helped them, especially, you know, even when the Egyptians pursued them. In the very beginning days of leaving Egypt, God would be with them and protect them. And that light would be something that they would long to celebrate, and they would do that as one of the elements of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so this morning I'm not going to go through the different courts that were in the temple. There were some inner courts and outer courts, and then there was the court of the Gentiles, the court of women, and only certain people could go into certain ones. But in the court of the women, they would, during the Feast of Tabernacles, at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, they would light these huge, massive lights. Huge lights. It is said that they would light these lights. And now when I say it would light up all of Jerusalem, understand that Jerusalem isn't the same Jerusalem as it is today. Okay, there's Jerusalem... Today you have Old City Jerusalem, which is very confined. It's still big, but it's not anything big to what the modern day Jerusalem is. Jerusalem is huge. And so when I say that these four lights lit up all Jerusalem, don't think about the Jerusalem today, but the Old City Jerusalem and what was there at the time of this, Jesus Christ, they would say that the lights were so bright when they lit them, that it would light, that they could see the light throughout Old City Jerusalem. And it would light that up. And these would be lit for the entire time. And I forget how long it was, but maybe a week or so when they would celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, that these would be lit during that time. At the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, then these lights would go out. Okay? So these people were lighting the lights and they were celebrating. Have you ever seen a Jewish individual celebrate? They know how to celebrate. They really do. And you can still go there and sing. You see them sing. If at any time you want to go to Jerusalem and go over to the Western Wall and you watch at any given time, at any time of day, I've seen it in the middle of the night. You say, how did you see that? At different times. I don't always do it, but I've had attached to my, you know, a live camera on the Western Wall. And you can go there at any time of day and you can be tuned into what's going on. And it's a little bit easier to see what's going on in the middle of the night there because their time change, okay? So you don't have to be awake in the middle of the night, but you can see this. And there's different, if you try to get on, there are different live cams there at the Western Wall. I can't tell you which one's better or not, but there are some different ones. You could get on and it would be a normal thing that you would see when the people are gathering and it's whatever like that. It's nothing to see a group of 10, 15, 20 guys on the guys' little section there around in a circle with their arms around each other and they're singing and they're dancing around doing it. I don't know what they're singing about and I don't know what they're celebrating. And I don't really know if they know the significance of what they're celebrating today, because it is a very much a part of their culture. The Jewish people, it's bred into them to worship God and worship Yahweh. It really is. It's sad that I don't think that they understand, though, the significance of Jesus Christ. That's the problem. But they celebrate, and these people know how to celebrate, and they sing and dance, and they're worshiping. And what were they doing? They were celebrating a number of things. One of the things that when those lights were lit on the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles is they were remembering the light that was given to them when they left Egypt and through the wilderness. That light of leading, guiding, protecting. We'll get into that light in just a moment. So these folks, they're in during this time around the temple, they lit the lights in the court of the women, and they lit them up, and they just were bright, and everyone can see them, and everybody is remembering and thinking, along with many other things, they're remembering the light that God, that Yahweh provided for them back in the past. Now, this morning, we're going to look at past, present, and future concerning this. Now, you're in John chapter 8 and verse 12. I'm going to speak a little bit more about the celebration in just a moment, but in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Father, I pray that you would help me as I give your truth this morning. God, I pray that you would help these folks, that they would pay attention and listen to the significance of what Jesus tells these folks here. There's a group of people that are around. There's people that are into these lights, and they've been witnessing these lights for this period of days. And then Jesus steps in and makes this amazing statement. There's so many things in that statement, God. God, I pray that we would see the significance, not just for those people back then, but that we would see the significance for it today in our lives. God, help us. Lord, help me. I pray that you would help us to feast on the truth that you've given to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Then spake Jesus. Now, in your Bibles, you'll recognize that there was a miracle that was done here with a woman, and that's another story. We're not going to get into that story this morning. So then is after that. But when you look at chronology then, we understand that it was at this time, this is the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. When Jesus steps up to the plate, I guess I could say, steps up to the plate and makes a very bold statement. The lights, these amazing lights, huge lights, have been lit, and they've been shining for 7 or 8 days, whatever it was. They've been lit and they're shining, and the people are dancing and celebrating and singing about how God had in the past been their light. And then the lights go out. And it is at this point that Jesus steps up, and there's a group of people there, a lot of people at the temple, and I don't know if he had a megaphone, I don't know how he said it, I don't know how it got to the people, and I don't know how it was heard, but he makes a statement. And he says, I am the light of the world. Now I want you to think for a moment how that hit people. The lights turn on, and I can't tell you because I wasn't there. I don't know if it was within the 5 seconds that the lights were out. I don't know how Jesus timed it. But I know that the lights go out. They've been focused on these lights for the week. And the lights go out, and the people are thinking, you know, was it probably a change in their eyes and change in their perspective? I mean, these amazing lights have been lit. Have you ever been around bright lights for a while and then all of a sudden the lights are gone? What does it do to your sight? You're lost for a little while, right? You have to wait until your eyes adjust, right? You know, and I know some of you know better than I do, but your pupils and how it does and has it. It does its thing and it adjusts, right? It adjusts to the light. And it takes a little while before you can see again, right? Okay, but when the light first goes out. Okay, so the lights go out. They've been seeing. They've had a lot of vision. They've had a lot of memory. They have a lot of celebration. And the lights go out and they can quickly think, oh, the light is gone. And Jesus steps up and in a voice he says, I am the light. There's a lot of significance in those words. Now, we are removed from Egypt and the deliverance for a long time. We're way removed. But folks, those people were not so far removed. Yeah, it still was a long time ago. But that was still a part of their culture. That was still a part of their upbringing. They were very aware of Yahweh. They were very aware of his light. They were very aware of the wilderness wanderings. They weren't the ones that went through, but they were aware because they had been They had been handed down those things from generations in the past. They were aware. That's why they celebrated, and they were good at their celebrations. They remembered while they're singing and dancing about the Israel. They were remembering maybe what they were told, but they were remembering those things. It was very close to them to remember what God had done, and it was close to them how God had addressed himself. And how did God address himself to Israel? How did God address himself to Moses when God called him there in the wilderness at the burning bush to go and to deliver his people from Egypt? What was his name?
I am.
And from that time forth, from Moses on, they recognized when the name I am was mentioned, they recognized this is God. This is Yahweh. This is him. I am. Now, think of it just for a moment. The Jewish people are celebrating what happened in the past. They're celebrating what Jehovah had done in the wilderness. And Jesus steps up to the plate and he starts the phrase off with, I am. What does that do? Even before he said, I am the light of the world, what would that do to them? Right? See, we're removed from this, folks. That's why we have to try to get back into this. See, we read, I am the light of the world, and we just focus on the light. But folks, this is a big statement here that Jesus is making, and it's the next one. He has already made it. He's already said, I am already. And now they're feasting and celebrating and dancing and singing, and the lights go out, and he says, I am. That already doesn't sit well with them. You are? Just who are you? He says, I am. I am identified him with who? God. Did they like that? Do they like it today? This is not a good thing in their eyes. They don't like this. Who are you to say that you are God? And that is their fall. That is their downfall. That is what tripped them up. If they could get that, folks, they could get so much more. They are reverent to God. They love God, but they don't understand that Jesus was God. And here Jesus steps up to the plate and he makes a claim of his deity. He says, I am. That immediately identified him with Yahweh of the Old Testament. I immediately identified him with Moses. And did they reverence Moses? They did. They reverenced Moses. They reverenced the law. They reverenced all this. And Jesus steps up and says, I am. Ooh, this is not good. This is not good. But not only that, but he says, I am the light of the world. You are the light. They had been experiencing all these lights. The lights go off and he steps up and says, I'm the light of the world. I am more than those lights. I'm the light of the world. I'm not just the light of Jerusalem. I'm not just the light of your festival right now. I'm not just the light of, I'm the light of the entire universe. Really? Jesus, here, we see as the light of the world, past, present, and future. And so he makes his bold statement, a title that quickly associated himself with Yahweh. Let's look at the past first. He says, I am the light of the world. So these Jewish people are quickly reminded. God, Yahweh, he does what? He leads, he lightens the Israelites as they leave Egypt and wander through the wilderness into the land of Canaan. What were some of the things that the light would signify to them? And on top of that, the reason why, hence they were celebrating. Okay? I want you to think about the light that God was. And these people knew it. They understood that Yahweh was the light to them. He had been a light to them. When they didn't know where to go, he led them. You know, I don't know if we've looked on maps a whole lot here on the wilderness wanderings, but is it a straight path from Egypt to Canaan? Now, it could be. Was it a straight path? Okay, it was not. In fact, they went up and then because of their unbelief, and then for the rest of the 40 years, what did they do? One of these things, right? Just It wasn't very straight. It could have been a more direct path, you know, if they would have just believed God and trusted God, but they didn't. And so God took them. But in every place that they went, did Yahweh provide what they need when they needed it? He did. It was because of their unbelief. They were pressed a little bit. It was a wilderness, wasn't it? It was a wilderness. Let's not make it into a beautiful... It was a wilderness. It was going to be a difficult time for them. But what was awaiting them? Canaan was waiting. Was it a good or bad place? It was a wonderful place. All they had to do was go through the wilderness. All they had to do was follow him. Did God provide everything that they needed to follow him through the wilderness? He did. He provided manna. He provided everything they needed. And one of those things was he provided light. He would be their light. Just like I'm pretty confident that Moses didn't carry a flashlight, but the light came from heaven. The light came from God. And it went through with that fire and that cloud, and he would just take them through. What were some of the things that were signified through that light? What would God be to them? And I've already told you some of them. I'm opening it up to you. What did the light mean to these Jewish people? Even as they, years and years later, in front of the temple or in the temple, danced around these lights, what were some of the things that they were thinking of that Yahweh was for them? Safety. You're right. That was a safety, okay? So I'll get to the guide second, okay? Glenn says a guide. Okay, let's look at first of all. And we'll talk about this. We'll go slow through, and I know that some of you have more answers, okay? Let's first of all look at the guide. Or no, that was what you said, safety. Safety. Okay, so Yahweh, or the light, was safety to them, right? Safety to who? From who? Immediately it was the enemy. Who was who? Egypt. You remember when Pharaoh looked at them and said, "What did I do? I let these people go. Let's go." And they went out to get them. And what did God provide? He provided that light that was there for safety. And these people are dancing around the lights, and they're celebrating the safety that God provided. Did they experience safety beyond the fleeing Egypt? Would they encounter other enemies? Many enemies. Was God always there if they would accept it? Always, right? Did God ever leave them or forsake them? Ever. On his account. No. If he wasn't there, whose fault was it? It was theirs. But why? Because he is the light. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever wandered through the forest with a flashlight? Are you thankful for your light? It's good. It's nice to have that light. That light gives an element of safety, doesn't it? Even though the light, you know, what are you going to do? Beat the bear over the head with a light? Not really. But it helps you to know. You know, you're there. And there's some sort of safety. If you don't have the light, you feel at a disadvantage, don't you? Yes. You like that light there because it's helpful. And it gives you that sense of security. And you've got that there. And you can follow that light. We'll come back to an illustration with the flashlight a little bit later. But we have this light. So, as Valerie mentioned, that the light, and they're celebrating this at this Feast of Tabernacles, they're celebrating the light and the safety that God had provided for them, and he always provided it. Okay, that was another thing. Okay, Glenn, you mentioned guiding.
Guide.
Okay, so very similar, but it brings more of just this element of a light there, but it's something to follow, right? To get from point A to point B, from Egypt to Canaan. In many cases, it was Egypt to this place, 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 and eventually they would get there. But God always would provide that leading and guiding to know where the next place to go was, that their needs would be met. And God always guided them through life, and there's not a doubt that these Jewish people, these Israelite people, are dancing around the lights during this week, thankful that God led them to Canaan. God led us here to Jerusalem. Look at what he's given to us. Okay? So God's leading, his guiding. Right. What else? Logan, you had something.
Able to run to God,
Okay? So refuge, a place of, we've kind of mentioned a little bit, but safety and security, right? When they were, and that brings, that's a, there's another one that's very close. These are all closely related, but there's a refuge. So when they, is it secure to see a light? Isn't it? Whether you're out at sea or in the woods, is it secure when you don't know where you're at to see a light off in the distance? What's the significance of a lighthouse there in the harbor? It's a guide. They would know where to go. And on top of that, but there, when they saw the light, when it finally broke through, was there a sense of whew, hope, relief, refuge? That's good. Good. Linda, you had another one. Yes. It was always there. And could I just jump alongside Linda's thought there and just mention his presence? There was a presence that was always there, right? That didn't leave them. It's there. They could look and there it was. You remember the battle. What battle was it? You know, that Moses and Aaron, you know, and Hur are there and they're fighting and as Moses' arms were up, you know, the people would turn around and look, you know, and as they saw that, it was a sense of, okay, there's God's presence. He's with us. And they turned and they fought. And there was that presence there. And we have, you know, called, you know, the reference to that Yahweh Nisi, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner, that sign, if in this sense, that light that it just gives me that security that I know that there's a presence. So there's a presence, there's a protection, there's leading and guiding. What else? Corey? Provision. There's another word. You guys like the P words. Okay, provision, protection. Okay, so Corey, provision. Was God's light there as a symbol somewhat to, I'm going to provide for you? Yeah, that's good. And did God provide? They got scared, didn't they? Oh, we don't have anything. I wish we could go back and eat the leeks and onions of Egypt and be under bondage. But there is provision, and God did provide. God did provide. Oh, their eyes were so big. He provided. What did God, when they were so hungry, what did God provide? Quail. Before quail. Manna. Manna. Oh, my kids are thinking, Dad, you're going to go into this one. There's another message that I have for you at some point in time about the manna. But it's, I got to be disciplined to not go there. Because that will take over the rest of the 10 minutes. Okay, so provision, good. Any other thoughts really quick? Because we got to keep going. Yeah, there's comfort. And Roger even brings up an element of warmth. You know, there had to be some sort of again, it all, you're just noticing this is all a big circle. This is, there's safety, comfort in your provisions, your protection, your leading and your guiding. It all was there and the light was given there. And I think you guys have the picture, right? The light was tremendous. And that's why we've got all these Jewish people dancing around these big lights. And the lights go out and he says, that's me. You're going to provide all this for me? Now, that was the past. They recognized that Yahweh had been their light, right? And he had been. He had been there for them. And they are celebrating this. We know that he has always, and because we know that the Lord is God, he is Yahweh in a sense, we know that he always has been the light. Folks, for us here this morning, we're not just talking about the Jewish people. We understand that God has always been the light. Always. There's never been a time when he was not the light. There was a time that the light was manifested into the world. But he's always been the light. And so then we see it, and he comes into the world, and he lights men, and he lightens everything. And so we have the light of the past. And so these people were celebrating so much of what God had done for them in the past. And can I tell you, we ought to celebrate the light that God has given to us in the past. God has always been there for us. God has always been there, you know, for the different times. When you were young, he was there for things that you might look at now that are so little. But God was there for you when you were young. I still remember, I've submitted to you and committed to you that one of my fears of life was being alone and being afraid. You know, my parents would leave. We lived on a cattle ranch that was 15 miles from town. And we had a dirt road that was 2 miles from nowhere. It was, we were nothing. And I still remember a time that mom and dad said that they were going to town, and me and my brother, I don't know if my sister was born yet. I don't know. She's 8 or 9 years younger than me. I don't remember how old I was, but mom and dad were going to town and they were coming back. And I think that we were the only ones on the ranch there. We were out in the middle of nowhere, literally nowhere. And we were there. And probably mom and dad were gone for a couple hours. To me, it seemed like years. Years they were gone. And I remember, because I was an afraid little kid, I still remember to this day, that's a long time ago, I still remember walking around the living room and just, and I would make my way to my parents' bedroom because they had a window that I could look out and I could see the 2 mile dirt road. There's nothing out there. You can see forever. I could see the 2 mile dirt road that went all the way to the railroad tracks, which was 2 miles away. And at the railroad tracks, that's where I almost lost it. But I think that you could even see Interstate 80, the big trucks going by, even 3 miles out there. And so I could watch that. And I knew what my parents' vehicle looked like. And so I could see 2 miles away. And I would know when mom and dad were coming. Do you know how many trips I took from the living room to my parents' bedroom, looking out that window to wait for my parents to come? I was scared to death waiting for mom and dad to come. And they finally came and everything was answered and everything was fine. But I was so afraid. But there's that, you know, that presence of times in the past where God pull through with me? Yes, he did. And he protected me. He kept me. And I could tell you more stories about things, you know, when God pulled through. But you all have those stories, don't you? You all have stories when you, and it's not just about being afraid and being lost. It was provisions. It was direction. It's protection and all of the things that we can list, that we have list. And God has been faithful, right? And so I'm not asking you to get up and dance or sing. I don't know what that would look like this morning. But we ought to celebrate the past of God's being the light of the world. Are you thankful this morning that God has been your light in these ways? Okay, but we've got to go beyond that because he's not just the God of the past. He's not just the light of the past. Folks, listen to this, and this is the main part of the message today. He is the light of the present. He is your light right now. He said when those lights went out, when all other lights that people are looking at the past, you know what? What does the past do you today, right? Yeah, God was there then, but what about today? But folks, can I tell you that I am never ends? Just because it was in the past, you say, yeah, he did it before, but now where is he today? Folks, he doesn't end. He is your light now because he is I am. He is the eternal I am. He's always the light. Aren't you thankful that these lights, this light, never goes out? Never. Never goes out. He is always a light, whether it's at noon or whether it's at midnight, whether you're here or there, whether you're in this circumstance or that circumstance, he is. And he shows up on the scene and he says, I am the light. And that bridges the past. You see, these people were dancing around these lights, then it closed, and he bridges it with the statement, he bridges the past into the present. See, these people were living in the past. And that's one thing that they've never gotten over. Do you know that the Jewish people still live in the past? They can't seem to get out of the past. But God is good for them today. Oh, you should pray for the Jewish people that they would recognize that God is good for them today. And guess what? He is good for them in the future as well. How is he good for them today? Well, we look at the rest of this statement. He says, I am, and he connects the past with the present. This presents a whole new perspective on the celebration of lights in Jesus' statement. He says, I am the light of the world. And he says to them that followeth, I am the light of the world. Notice our verse in verse 12. I am the light of the world. That's present. And by the way, in the language, it is a present. I am the light. But it's also in the present. It follows through. He that followeth me, also in the present. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That word, the words followeth and the words walk are both in the present. This is something that is happening right now. And he says, right now, I am the light of the world. You Jewish people that are celebrating the past, I am the light for you right now. You can have me as your light. And so he is here presenting himself. Now, the word followeth, for those of you that come on Sunday evenings and we're going into our discipleship, this word followeth has the idea of discipleship in a very simple sense of kind of like declaring, listen, I'm willing to be your disciple. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus presented himself to these people to come and follow him, and they followed, this is what they were doing. They said, I am willing to be your disciple. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to let you be my master. One of the main titles that they addressed Jesus, the disciples, was master. That was their leader. I'm your follower, okay? There's no doubt that there is some element to this verse that is saying, he that will declare God as their master, that will be willing to follow me, in a sense, let me be your light. So we're talking about salvation here. If you would let me be your salvation, then I will save you. Now we know that, right? If we are willing to let Jesus be our Savior, will he save us? Yes. So he says, whoever will be my disciple, you'll be mine. You'll be my disciple. But folks, it's more than just whoever will get saved. And it is true here. We cannot throw out whoever would be his disciple. God will always provide lights for his disciples. And if you're here and you're saved, and if you have decided to follow Jesus in salvation, my friend, you always have access to light. Always. Always. He is your light. But it goes beyond that, because these words follow and this word walk have to do with our everyday actions. Everyday actions as I go. Yes, it's available 24/7, but you only get the experience as you follow. If I am taking an excursion with my family through the woods, if we go to camp and I say, hey kids, before bed tonight, before we go back to our cabin, we're going to walk through the woods. Now I know the woods at camp well enough that I probably don't need a light. I'll know mostly where I'm at. But for those that aren't as familiar, the light would be very comforting. Dad, get your light, please. Okay. So I go back in the cabin, I get my light, and I shine it there. And we start down the path, and we start going there. And of course, we're not using the modern lights. We're using the old plastic orange ones, you know, that don't work for a couple minutes. And you got to replace the big batteries about that big. You know, and so we're walking through the woods, and the kids are staying close because they want to see. But kids like to be kids, right? And they like to adventure, and so the kids run out into the forest, and they run out there, and you're thinking, as dad, you're thinking, okay, just wait, wife, just here in just a moment, there's going to be a kid crying, right? I'm not talking about my family, okay? Okay? Certainly not my family. They would all have their lights. Ezekiel has 100 lights. He would give them out to his brothers and sisters, so we would all have lights. Okay, but let's just follow the, okay, so the kids that don't know better, they run off tramping through the woods, and they're, you hear all these, you know, there's, you know, running through the forest, and then all of a sudden, what do you hear? You know, and that's not a wild animal, that's a kid crying, you know, because he fell over the stump or the, you know, the branch that was, you know, coming across the path, and there it is. And what's dad thinking? Well, mom's thinking, go get him and help him. Dad's thinking, he should have had the light, you know, he should have followed me. That's the way we're made, right? Dad's thinking about truth, mom's compassion, okay? And so that's the way it is. You know, Melissa's running over to help bandage them up. I'm thinking, you should have followed me, you should have followed me. But the fact of the matter is there's some safety where there's light, right? But you're only as good in the light as you are right there following the light, right? The light is available, but when you walk away from it, then you're not in the light. Now here he says, if I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not, he starts off with a negative, shall not walk in darkness. How many of you here like light? Now when I talk about light, I'm not even just talking about lights. I'm talking about how many of you like God's light? How many of you like direction? How many of you like God's will being declared to you? You know what's right. Wouldn't it be neat if we all knew 100% of God's will for every decision in life? Wouldn't it be nice? Wow. But that God didn't make it that way. But what did he do? He provided himself as light. I cannot see way ahead there, but he will give me light right here. And so what I have to do is then I have to take that light, I've got to shine it down in front of the path, and I've got to, what am I doing here with my feet? I'm following the light, right? As soon as I leave that light and I go off on my own, what am I in? I'm in darkness now. And what am I available to? Anything, right? I could get afraid. I could get hurt. I could get attacked. I don't know what will happen, but I am now on my own in the dark. But God says what? I am right now the light. In other words, you've got me. You've got a light. But he says, and it's, I don't know that the words are set up as a conditional here, but the idea is like a conditional. Do you know what a conditional is? It's kind of like an if-then statement. If I could put it into that, if you walk in the light, he says, I am the light of the world. You've got me. But then he says, if, he doesn't say it specifically in the verse, but it's as if he was, if you walk in my light, you will have light, right? But if you don't walk in my light, you will have darkness. That's the truth. What is he saying here practically to us? He's saying this, folks, in the present, do you like light? I asked you that before. Do you like light? Do you like when God makes his way clear and plain so that you know what's in front of you, so that you know where to go, you know how to make those decisions? Should I purchase this? Should I not do that? Should I do this? Do you folks like light? We like light. We want light. What does God say? Walk, he says, I am the light, but walk in the light. Follow the light. Obey the light. Do the light. You see, we want God's direction. I could look across and the writers maybe want God's direction for this, and David wants God's direction for this, and weavers want God's direction for this, and we all have our things that we need God's direction for. These are the things we pray for. God, would you show me this, and would you lead us this way? We want that, and God says, good, it's available. But you need to follow me. You need to walk in me. You need to be there where I'm at. Following is going where he goes, doing what he does. It's saying what he says. It's listening to what he listens to. It's being close to him. So many of us want the light, but we're not willing to follow and walk in the light. We see the Jews, you know, celebrating around these lights and dancing around and everything like that. And God says, do this. And what do? We're not going to do that. He says, you have my light. It's the same light that Moses had, and it's the same light that the Israelites had. It's the same light. I'm here. I'm available. But you need to follow it. You need to walk in it. Very practically speaking, folks, listen, all of us want God's direction. God, please show me who I should marry. God, please show me where I should live. Show me what house I should buy. God, show me what car I should, show me what job I should work. God, I want your wisdom. Would you show me your wisdom? But yet on an individual basis, on a daily basis, when God says, hey, I want you to respond this way to that antagonistic person, we don't obey him and we do what we want to do. You know what that's like? It's like that little kid running away from the light saying, I know better. And then God says, I want you to witness to that coworker there. And you say, They're too scary. I don't want to. And we go running off. You know, every time we disobey God with what he says, kids, it's things that your parents have asked you to do or told you to do or not to do. And you want God's protection and light and provision and all that stuff. And you decide to just continue on doing what you're doing. Yet you say, and you cry to God, I want your wisdom. But yet you're not willing to follow where he goes. And you expect God's light. His light's available, but you've got to be there close. You've got to be there. He says, whoever follows me won't walk in darkness. And that walk is that everyday decision. You study the word walk. It's that everyday decision of life that we go through. You got saved. You received the light. You've got the light. We have the light. We have charged batteries all the time. We can do it. And it's Jesus Christ. It's himself leading us and guiding us, providing, protecting, and all those words that we mentioned that he had done in the past. We have every one of those things at our availability, and all he asks us to do, he that follows me, he that walks with me, will not walk in darkness, but have the light of your life. You see, Yahweh wasn't good just for Israel in the past. He's good for you today. And he shows up at this tabernacle feast. They've seen lights, and then they go out, and he said, listen, in a sense, he was trying to start discipleship there, and he said, follow me. What was their response? What was Israel's response as a whole? They said, no, we won't do it. Listen, one of the greatest nations in the entire universe, still blessed by God to this very day. And it's only because of God's amazing covenant with them that he will stand true to his faithful promise to them. God will not renege on his promise that he gave to Israel. He won't do it. But I'm telling you, they are going through misery today because they have not walked with Jesus. Do I love Israel? I do. Do I love those people? I do. But they have done it to themselves. They rejected God's light. And as much as I love them, and as much as I want them to, if I could say, do we pray that they'll win the war? Honestly, folks, it's not about a war and it's not about winning. I'm with Israel because God's with Israel. But they are reaping the consequences because they have said no to Jesus. Do you understand that? I'm with them. I love them, but I cannot side with them. I disagree with them. And I know that's probably the first time you've heard me say anything negative about Israel, but I disagree with Israel. I disagree with those people because they are saying no to Jesus Christ. But my friend, some of us are the same way. We will not obey him with the little things of life, and we expect him to lead us and guide us and give us everything else. Yahweh is good for the past, and he's good for the present. And can I tell you, he is good for the future. The last point, I know we're out of time. The last point is very simple. He is going to be the light of the world. Can I tell you, some amazing things in the future are going to happen. And he gives us the promise, we'll not walk in darkness. We'll have the light of life as we follow and obey him. He has promised to keep us from the darkness and give us the light of life. He will keep us from evil. He will keep us from falling. He's able to protect us. He will provide us salvation. He will provide us guidance and presence and protection, provision, direction, perfection, and all those things. Eternal life and light. I like what Habakkuk says in chapter 2 and verse 14, speaking of the end in the future. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What he is saying, he says the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory that overcame the tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple in Jerusalem, will be the same in all the world. Why? Because he is the light of the world. And he will be. Folks, I want to tell you, I don't know what heaven is going to totally be like, but I can tell you one thing. There isn't going to be any shadows. Because he is the light that permeates the entire portion of it. no shadows, because he's all light. But my friends, we can live in light as well if we will take him, if we will simply trust and obey. Trust and obey. Father, thank you that you're the light of the world. It must have meant so much more to those people that were singing and dancing around these lights. For us, we have just a different perspective, maybe a more full perspective because we see the whole thing. But they had so much background that we don't have. And yet, Jesus shows up and he says, I'm the light of the world. God, you've shown up this morning here in this auditorium and you've shown us, I am the light of the world, to every individual that's here. God, and we have the same choice as Israel had. We can choose to accept it or we can choose to reject it. We can choose to live in it and walk in it, follow it, or we can choose to get off the path and do our own thing. It's proven to be very difficult and dangerous for Israel. And it will do the same in our lives. God, would you help us to follow the light of the world? Thank you that Jesus is. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.